Welcome to Heart Conversations, the podcast. I'm your host, Marissa Etzel, and together we'll get out of our heads and into our hearts. These deep and meaningful conversations are meant to crack open our hearts, expand our worldview, and cultivate compassion. I truly believe world peace and unity of all people is possible, and it all starts with a heart-to-heart conversation. We are back for another heart-to-heart conversation, and y'all, this has been a long time coming. Mikkel and I have been meaning to talk for months, so it's so surreal that now here we are, and we're just rolling, going with the flow. We just press record, and here we are. We're just going to talk and share what comes up. We were talking about breakups before. But Mikkel, oh my gosh. There's so much I could say about you. As far as like bios and introductions, I like to say like who the person is for me. And then you can fill in the gaps and add anything if I miss anything.
So, wonderful.
Perfect. So Mikkel for me is like a shining example of what leadership truly is. And like leading from the heart, leading from your sensitivity, leading from your humanness. And I also just feel like weaving in the spirituality aspect too, because I feel like talking to you is just like brings me back to faith and trust and who I am, like who God created me to be. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your gifts. And who are you? Who do you aim to be?
I like that. my name is Mikkel Gray. I'm here in Austin, Texas. I've been here for almost 10 years, but originally from Dallas. So I'm a Texan, and I am a spiritual, pure life coach. I dabble in Myers-Briggs, human design. I use pretty much anything I can to help people get their ego out of the way so they can remember who they are, come back to a place of wholeness, and get clear on their needs and desires. Require them unapologetically and be on their aligned destined path. And so that can look many different ways. As a Black person, most recently, and I guess more potently, increasingly potently, especially post-breakup, talking a lot about integrating things like social justice, racism, and bringing awareness to that from a place of acknowledgement, because they do impact our collective unconscious and people's individual consciousnesses. So I like talking about all of the damn things, and I'm happy to be here.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that you brought ego into it. Cause I mean, this is a broad question. But how do you think like ego plays into racism and social justice?
Well, that is a big question. So admittedly, and I guess this is me trying to get my ego out of the way, I'm by no means an academic expert. I do believe in the power of lived experiences, because that is kind of a significant part of sociology, right? Which is just studying cultures and people. And so a lot of it is my intuitive download and what I've experienced through my clients and just observing trends and patterns in the world. But I would say the biggest probably focus of this conversation, especially within our industry of coaching, is the ego will have you, number one, taking things personally, and the ego will have you do what's called spiritual bypassing, which is like you don't want to acknowledge the darkness because you feel like it's going to deplete from your light, when really the biggest source of your power is being able to hold both and transmute that darkness, which is what we need to do within ourselves, the ego, and what we need to do collectively. So in the realm of racism, what I am concerned with is people, all people's inability to look at how certain standards of, I don't know, beauty standards of what is right, why they won't look at that. What are they protecting themselves from? I think the best way to do it is like bring it into our industry, because there's a lot of beautiful, impactful spiritual leaders who feel like it's low vibration and low frequency, but they'll still at the same time talk about getting out of your ego. And it's like, okay, but the ego is fucking you over again, because you won't even acknowledge this deep truth, right? It's not saying that certain people are perpetual victims, right? It's just saying like, hey, in the physical realm, there's some inequities. There's some things in the physical realm that are not reflecting the fact that we are all whole, perfect, and able to manifest whatever we want. And our inability to look at that from a place of ego is actually impacting our ability to manifest this ideal world that we say that we want, but we act in forms of separation. That's what ego serves to do. It helps you believe that you are separate from one another. Because we have bodies, people think that we're actually separate, but we're most definitely not. And you'll experience this on your own, because there's going to be situations where you're going to judge another person, and then your ass is going to go through the same exact thing that they went through that you judged them for. And then you're going to be like, damn. And if you're super spiritual, whatever the hell that means, you're going to experience that karmic retribution and within 30 minutes time. If you're like me, I'll start to judge people and start to smack talk people, and I'll be like, 30 minutes time, I'll be like, wow, I just did the same thing I judged them for. Wow. Like, where's my ego now? I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to hold on to. I have nothing to hold over someone. That's because your wholeness, free from ego, doesn't play that game, doesn't engage in that conversation.
100%. Yeah. I think of the phrase ego edging God out, you know, where it's like, it's all you, you know, you're not thinking about the other person as a spiritual being and really honoring them for who they are.
Exactly. And that's from a spiritual perspective. I would also say in the realm of racism and all of that stuff, from in the practical realm, I think racism prevents people from seeing themselves and others as whole people, right? Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of instances where you, for some reason or another, like when we're conditioned in this society that says that white is right in many aspects, we have trouble seeing other people that look differently from that as whole humans, meaning all of them get to be brought forth. And that's the coaching that we do. A lot of people are concealing parts of themselves, but racism literally says that there's certain people that are more whole than others. And it's not ultimate truth, but we can't just bypass it and say that's not ultimate truth, because there's a collective agreement still in our unconsciousness that that is truth. So we have to excavate it, and we have to get in the practice of it, because it's so insidious. It's been around for hundreds of years. So it's a great conversation. It's a spiritual conversation.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, love that we're having this conversation. And I'm also like, you know, that is a big part of it. And I think, like, for someone listening who's like, oh my gosh, this is so much, like, and they have been avoiding the darkness, they are that person. And this conversation might even be very confronting for them to hear. What would you say, like, how do you begin excavating at a reasonable rate, you know? And like, what does that look like tangibly?
Well, actually, it's a person by person thing, but the best thing that I like to do is I like to expose myself to different ways of being, different knowledge, right? Because all we are is a product of the knowledge and the exposure that we've had up until now. So expose yourself to different conversations and be aware of the defense mechanisms, or like the reactions that you might have. And like, I'm not a bad person. I'm not like that. I would offer that, yes, while you're whole and perfect, that there's most likely, if we're all connected, what you're seeing and judging in the other person is probably something that in your judgment of the other person, you're trying to avoid seeing in yourself. This goes both ways, to kind of veer off a course a little bit. A lot of people say comparison's bad. Not inherently. Sometimes we compare and judge ourselves against people that are an embodiment of our next level. But we have to do that in terms of excavating the darkness. We expose ourselves to other people's experiences, thoughts, and beliefs. And we bring up and we meet and are honest with the discomfort that arises within us. And then we get curious. But what I'm seeing a lot of people not doing is they're not exposing themselves to the conversation. And this is not as simple as like just diversity or even, diversity or representation. You know, you don't just throw different colors onto your Instagram feed. Really dive into the conversation, listen, and titrate it. It doesn't have to be this overwhelming thing, because I understand that this can be overwhelming for some people. What it is, you know, you just get curious. What I like to do, I talk about Instagram a lot. I like to just follow new accounts because I'm outsourcing this thing. Mm-hmm. And when I get on my phone, I already have new information on my phone. You're already scrolling your phone. You're scrolling the same account. So why not just outsource it to this little device here and just be like, oh, this is interesting. Wait, Asian hate. Wow. like the model, the model minority myth. Why are Asian people being targeted right now? Where is that coming from? What is my unconscious belief about Asian people? Do I think all Asian people look the same? Why or why not? You see how I'm starting to ask certain questions. Again, you don't have to go and befriend someone who is Asian just so you can look cool. And you don't have to force, because this is with anyone. If you're curious, the people that I coach, the people I'm around, they're innately curious. They have an insatiable thirst for knowledge, right? If you don't have that, then yes, I'm probably not speaking to you. But if you generally are like, wow, I'm in a position to where I didn't know what I didn't know, and I'm really wanting to expose myself to different things, use Instagram. I'm not joking. That's a very big hack, I'm telling you. Use Instagram and get curious. Ask yourself these questions from a place of desire to expand your consciousness and awareness and capacity to love, because there are unconscious biases in everyone. In everyone. And do it from a place of curiosity. This is with anything, not just this uncomfortable conversation. A place from curiosity is going to be sustainable for you to make this a lasting change that becomes a new standard for your awareness and consciousness and ability to love people in the physical realm. But don't force, don't say, I have to be a good person. I have to do this. So when someone asks me these questions of whether I'm anti-racist, I'm prepared. Be loving and gentle and honest with yourself, but stay curious.
Right. And I think when you come from that place of like curiosity, and I hear it as kind of this growth mindset and a return to love, ultimately, when you come from that place, it's more sustainable. It's not this like temporary, oh, you know, I am going to read this book and check, you know, I am done. I have done my racism due diligence. No, it's a lifelong journey.
Sure. And there's also like, you're preventing, when you talk about sustainability, that forcing energy is that should energy. And again, the reason it's unsustainable is because you're going to be very concerned with some nebulous destination, right? But there's actually a shit ton of stuff. That's not a reason to not go on this journey at all, but there's a lot of information. So yes, you got to trust that you get the information when you are meant to receive it, but you have to keep going. But your system is gonna be overloaded if you put this perfectionistic mindset on you to get enough information so you can look cool or good. Just engage in conversation, because you're doing it in other areas of your life. You're naturally expanding your desire and your curiosity in other areas of your life. So this is easily integratable for those of us who are on the spiritual personal development path always.
Yeah. No, thanks for bringing it there. And just a real life example of Instagram, you know, if you're already on it and spending time scrolling, then might as well, you know, expand that. Do you have certain, obviously this is coming from your lens, but do you have certain accounts that you would recommend to people and for folks to start?
I do not. So, because that's a hard one. There's just so many.
Yeah.
I don't actually have like one hub or anything like that. Maybe that's something that you can put in the show notes or something, but I actually don't have one hub. But if you just search for words, right? Like again, our Asian fellow family, like they're suffering right now due to bullshit virus assumptions and prejudice. And so that's something you can look. Stop Asian Hate is a hashtag that's going around. That's probably a great way to do that. Like look at hashtags. Can't say the word. Hashtags. Look at hashtags. So that's probably the best way, because I don't really, if I recommend an account, I don't have one hub and then I have to remember all the little handles and I don't.
No,
so.
You're all good.
But hashtag it up. Yeah, just get curious. Even Google, there's articles. Get on Twitter. I love Twitter. There's always new information coming out. And then at the very least, maybe have conversations with people right next to you in person that you talk to already. Be like, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And
oh my God.
Feel into that, because we're not having these conversations.
Yeah, I'm like, what a concept. I mean, I think it's so interesting these days, you know, with masks, and I don't know how it is in Texas. Well, I know it's different from Washington.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, with masks.
Little Texas.
And with the 6 feet rule and everything, I think it's another layer added to, you know, to your, I think, to your mindset of approaching conversation and really diving deeper. Maybe it was hard enough as is, and now there's these other barriers. Like, how committed are you really to having these conversations? Thank goodness for Zoom. I love that, you know, technology is connecting us right here, right now, and that we're able to have this conversation.
Exactly. And so this would be something that will be a catalyst for someone to get curious. It's been on the back of their mind, and then now they're getting to have this conversation where they're not feeling shamed, forced, or pushed. and they're just like, oh yeah, this is something that I want to do. And there's a sustainable way and I don't have to get it all perfect, but I am naturally curious. At first I thought I wasn't, because there were people I was exposed to that were shaming me for not being woke enough. But now I get to have this gentle, loving, integrated approach because Mikkel and Marissa are having this loving conversation. So this is a conversation. We're being a demonstration for it right now.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many other podcasts out there too. Like, you, just as you can search in Google, you can look in in whatever Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called, you know, and search, search up. Like, there are so many resources out there. I don't think that should be a hindrance or stop people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And just one is good enough. Just even, you know, 15 minutes is good enough, because you're setting the intention for seeing things differently. And that's, and any sort of, to kind of bring it out a little bit, and any sort of spiritual endeavor, that is what we are called to do. We are called to see things differently. We're called to move from darkness to light, not in a bypassing way, but in an integrated way. We're called to move from ego to spirit. That is the name of the game. I read A Course in Miracles and I say, I love A Course in Miracles. It can be used to bypass. I feel like I have to do a disclaimer every damn thing for 2021. But A Course in Miracles say, to see from spirit, you have to have a 180 degree shift. You have to shift from form, which is what our eyes and the aspects of our physical body can see, into content. It's about the energy. It's about what's behind what's going on, right? We move from separation to interconnectedness. That is the name of the game. Let me be willing to see things differently today. Just saying that can change your entire life.
Oh yeah, oh my gosh. Chills. Yeah, that unity and that shifting too, I think, from individual to collective consciousness, which I think is also, it goes back to what we were saying, like shifting from the ego to really, what would you say? Shifting from the ego to, I mean, really to love.
Oh, I said spirit, but love spirit. Works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the essence of things, right?
Yeah. I'm like, there's so many terms. There's so many words. Plus, like, English and the word love, like, I vote we need more terms to describe love, because you can love bacon, you can love your friend, you can love your romantic partner, but what is love?
Right.
Who's now it? We're getting deep.
Yeah, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. That's what I was going to say. But love, this is all love. This is all love, because what we're doing is we're eradicating any implication of separation. That is love. We're eradicating any messaging of separation, of lack. That is what love is.
And I'm just gonna hone in on kind of just the current times too of 2020 to 2021. And when we talk about this shifting from darkness to life, or darkness to light / life, and like returning to love. Yeah, I mean, to folks, it could look like there's a lot of chaos and darkness right now. And, you know, like, personally, I'm coming from the stance that, like, this is part of the process. Well, what do you have to say about kind of our times right now and what we're going through? Like, are we in the midst of darkness? And what is the purpose? Like,
what's going on? So here's something. Whenever you're, to my folks that are conflict avoidant, okay? When you're conflict avoidant within a relationship or any sort of relationship, okay? There's an argument of, I used to get this because I'm one of those truth speakers, truth seekers, even as a kid. I would always get like, you know, don't be so dramatic. You're always trying to look for problems. But what it was is I was such an intuitive being that I would perceive that there were things that were being swept under the rug. There were things that were not getting addressed. And I knew that it would accumulate and create conflict anyway, okay? But you have people that think that they want to be conflict avoidant. They want things to stay the same. They don't want to deal with what's on the other side of something that needs to be spoken, on the other side of a choice that needs to be made, right? And so they will call you, or they will project upon you this idea that you are causing trouble. And this actually comes from childhood. I'm a child of immigrant parents. Don't cause trouble. Don't rock the boat. Keep your head down. Kind of a colonial, colonized mindset. Keep your head down. Don't create chaos, right? Don't veer from the norm. But what if your path is in direct opposition to the norm, and that's your alignment? This is what I'm talking about, this 180 degree shift. Sorry, I kind of talk in circles, but it all comes back to something. Conflict avoidant, okay? So you're avoiding conflict, but something needs to be addressed. So you can either be in your full power and speak the truth that you see or what not wanting to see right now, and things will course correct and be in more alignment, or you can continue on because you fear conflict, and the conflict is going to happen anyway, because again, the universe course corrects in terms of alignment. So a lot of people, yes, there's a lot of things going on. We're still in a pandemic. There's a lot of stuff people are talking about, COVID not being real, masks, all of that stuff. They're seeing a lot of darkness. Number one, there's always shit going on when you're paying attention to the news. That's the job. That's the news's job, to pay attention to shit that's not going right. But also energetically, there's have been a really big shift, I think, in that people are bringing darkness to the light. So what we're seeing now is the product of hundreds of years of things that have been unaddressed. And so people are going to look at it and say, wow, things are really chaotic. But what you could see now is like, wow, finally the truth is coming to light. Integration is on its way. Our ability to see clearly is on its way. We're no longer going to have this light that's superficial, that doesn't have a strong foundation, because we have already looked at, excavated, and transmuted our darkness. So this is only a product of us. Well, we kind of were put into a corner and actually just had to deal with stuff, right? But we didn't have to have this virus happen. We didn't have to have it happen for us to get clear on things like climate change and us not taking care of our planet and stuff. We didn't have to have this happen. We always have the power to make powerful choices. But all I'm saying is, when you see chaos erupting, be grateful because things are course correcting. Be grateful because the darkness is being brought to light. Things are getting handled. Shit is getting handled. And things are just getting, they're correcting themselves right now. So do I think chaos is happening? Yes, but it's because it's necessary, because shit has been fucked up and it needs to be rearranged. That's my answer.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It makes me think of exactly what we were talking about before this, we hit record, which is breakups. We see that on the micro level in a breakup, right? Like it seems like maybe this huge like rupture, right? But really I see it as, and I mean, it sucks. Like I want to have empathy. I literally just went through a breakup. And so it does suck. It hurts. It hurts. I think first and foremost to separate yourself from another human being like that, but it takes time and space to heal. And it's part of your evolution and cracking your heart open to more love in the future.
Agreed. And I would also say that for most of you, someone's gonna get real pissed when they hear this. For many of you, you probably knew in some sense that the relationship was not a good fit. You probably knew in some sense. Again, it was that conflict avoidant, right? You don't want things to change. You have attachment to the form. There's a part of you that wants to expand beyond the container. You decide there's only two options, to break up or to stay together. And you did not want to break up, so you just stay together. Same with the collective chaos we're seeing right now. There's a lot of shit we've been new. We knew that this stuff was fucked up and we could not come to a collective agreement on how to handle it. And so this is what we actually do in America. We do this all the time. We're doing this now. We have this president and it's the same form. It's better shit, but it's the same shit pile. So we don't learn from our mistakes. We don't, because we're trying to make people feel comfortable, because we have greed. We're very attached to money. We're prioritizing money over collective health, right? Mm-hmm. Like we know, there's a lot of us know, we may not be ready to uphold the level of integrity that the knowing will require us to have, and that's okay, because we're usually choosing experiences, whether to choose them in the first place or to choose to stay in them. We're choosing it from the level of consciousness that we're at. We sometimes have a standard of requiring rock bottom before we own our true truth. But just bring awareness to, part of you probably knew, not to beat yourself up and be like, I lost 3 years, because that's not true, because no matter what happens, whatever you experienced before that is serving and preparing you for your next step. So there's no loss, but you can look and just to sow the seed of power and agency, know that there was a part of you that did feel off. There was a part of you that did not resonate. There was a part of you that chose to engage in codependent patterns because you felt like the only way you could stay in this relationship was to neglect yourself so you can feel needed. But you knew that's something to celebrate. You know, that's something for you to celebrate. We keep walking around like we don't know, because we want someone to save us, or we don't want to deal with the impact of making the aligned choice. And we need to stop that. Life works much more efficiently if we just own that we know and take necessary action and do it again and again and again. And it heals ourselves and heals everyone. Everyone's where they're supposed to be instead of pretending to be someone that they're not and pretending to not know.
Yes. Yeah. Just real quick. When you said I lost 3 years, that was like in the context of the relationship and like you spent 3 years with them, but like deep down you knew that it wasn't maybe right for
I'm
you.
I'm not speaking about me. I'm speaking about people.
Okay. Okay.
I'm totally fucking with you. I'm speaking about me, but I'm speaking in those terms because it's just a general decision. Like it can be applied to jobs. It could be applied to anything that we take on where we think, oh, it didn't work out. And then we knew, but then we're like, we lost all that stuff. And it's not that. It means that now you're at a different level of awareness and consciousness so you can choose more powerfully next time. So you don't have to go to rock bottom. So you don't have to check with every one of your friends to get insight when really you just feel uncomfortable. And that's why you'd be asking your friends.
You are speaking to my heart.
Yeah. So it's hard. I think there's some sort of thing where it's like, we don't want to be too rich. We don't want to be too confident. We don't want to be too know-it-all. And it's also scary because we want maybe someone to just tell us so we don't have to take full responsibility. Right? But we're in the game of being fully powerful. If we're going to do personal development, then we might as well just take all of it instead of just picking and choosing.
Yeah. And the word that's coming through too is freedom. Like with that power and agency and you owning it and taking responsibility is true freedom. I believe.
That is that. Yeah, I think you're completely on it. And again, that comes back to that 180 degree shift. We've seen collectively that a lot of people are seeking freedom and being anti-mask, seeking freedom and being pro-mask, seeking freedom and wealth, seeking freedom in relationships, as we talked about. That's why people are not choosing to leave relationships earlier, because they seek freedom in that, or safety rather, because some people equate freedom with safety. But there is no unfuckwittable, there's no more unfuckwittable source of freedom than to have full agency and to fully claim your ability to create your life from the inside out. Everything that you're doing that is denying that power you have is actually taking away your freedom. This doesn't mean that you can't have the love and the safety and the stability that you want. But if you feel like you can't live without it, even though you're saying it's giving you freedom, are you really free? But that's the 180 degree shift, which is basically we switch cause and effect. When something happens to us, we think that that's causing our pain, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not true. It's our belief that we feel at the mercy of that. If you something bad happens to you, I don't really like that phrasing, but if we feel like, shit, this stuff always happens to me, it's not that things are always happening to you. It's that you believe that things are always happening to you versus, wow, cool, that happened. I wonder what's next. Weird, right? Oh, what is that teaching me? Why did that happen? Oh, it's because I believe that I couldn't actually get what I actually wanted. And so I settled. You see, if you're at cause, then what happens is a response to you. It's not happening to you. You are powerful, not powerless. But that's where that 180 degree shift is. That's why I had that freedom example, because the only way for you to create a fulfilling, loving, accepting life where you're not feeling always at the attack of anything is for you to remember that you are at cause.
Yeah.
And again, people can use this to bypass so much stuff, which is why the race conversation is really, really important. Because we are at cause collectively to make sure that we have systems and structures that reflect universal truth, and we do not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So much is coming up. Yeah. I mean, because you brought up sociology at the beginning, and I'm like, yeah, I like jokingly said this, but now I feel like since I graduated in 2020, this is like, it's almost weirdly true, where I studied sociology so I could learn about the systems and structures of our society, because they clearly aren't working. And so, you know, I wanted to learn about them so that then we could create new ones, which is like a huge lofty goal, but we need to look at what isn't working. We need to look at, yeah, just like the current reality. And yes, it's going to be confronting, and yes, it's hard to look at, but how else are we going to move forward?
I agree. As within, so without. These are the questions we get to ask ourselves in our personal development journey as well. And yeah, those structures are not working. So why do we keep having them? I don't know. You know, part of it is having agreement, right? And there's like voting and all literally the voting structures we have to create something new is fucked up too. So it's kind of like the little issue we have going on. But yeah, that is the point. Like it's all connected and realm of control is important. Voting power is important, but also again, in the industry that you're in, there's so many of us. Ooh, am I going to get a Charlie horse on this podcast? Those are the worst. I think I'm actually having a Charlie horse right now. I'm gonna write this on my Facebook. I got a Charlie horse on a podcast. This never happened before. It's okay. I'm powering through it. I forgot what I was saying, but yeah, structures. Oh, realm of control, your industry. I talked about the coaching industry a lot. I am a coach and there is a lot of these structures impact wherever you are, wherever you're working, whatever your family is like, it impacts where you are right now. There's a lot of the most popular coaches in our industry are white males. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's certain structures and beliefs and perceptions that are fueling that. And so that's part of my mission, you know, as someone who's Black, queer, trans, gender fluid, all of that, is to show if I am rich and famous, I'm up here being the next Oprah, then people, that's going to fuck some things up. People are going to be pissed at me. They have to figure out why. They have to go within their subconscious and be like, why am I so bothered? Why don't I trust Mikkel? Or why do I trust Mikkel? Like that's our job. That's why the wholeness thing is so important for everyone, because it's going to fuck up our paradigms just by way of demonstration.
Whoa. Okay. So what I get from that also, are you okay? Is your Charlie horse like, are you good?
I lived through it actually.
Okay.
Because sometimes it like persists. There's like nothing you can do. And you're like, fuck. You're just laughing. I'm like fucking in pain right here. I'm actually fine. But okay. It's really funny.
But what I get from that is like, really, it is our job. It is our responsibility to step into our power and to, like you said, like, live in abundance, to be free, to whatever it looks like for you, you know, like, I love that yours is, you know, like being rich, wealthy, you know, being this rad coach in the industry, right? Like, because I think the way I interpreted it was like, so we need to trigger people, but not really. It's like, we need to be our authentic self, like, authentic.
And that's the thing, you don't need to trigger people, right? Because that energy, exactly. I know that's, you're encoding something is what you're saying, but you don't have to trigger people. You being in your fullness, feeling like you don't need to prove, and you just out there being confident, and people are gonna be like, what's Marissa, how are you? And you're like, everything's great, I just got, you know, 5 new clients. They're gonna be like, what the fuck is wrong with her? Why isn't she upset? Why isn't she, you know, why is her hair all did perfect? Life is supposed to be hard. Why isn't she? Oh, it's because she's young. People are going to reveal all of their belief systems that they tell themselves and stop them from actually their wholeness. So there's no, you don't have to trigger people. You are going to trigger people.
Yeah.
Just by being you and your authentic self, you're going to trigger people. People are not triggering people right now because they're all like, oh, I don't want to step on their toes and I don't want to be unprofessional and I don't want to be judged and all of that stuff. You are going to trigger people by going onto this path and just being fully visible and not needing to prove anything. You're going to trigger people by probably just by being you in some way, butting up against someone's perception of what's professional, beautiful, or whatever. And they're going to be like, what the fuck? Why isn't she feeling self-conscious? And she has that attribute that I associate with being less than. That bothers me. So now I have to go within and be like, oh, well, I thought you couldn't get that thing if you had that thing, but this person is thriving and they have that thing. So what does that say about me and my belief system?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, you're triggering people, but you don't have to try to do it. You'll just do it.
Right. It's just your existence.
And then you're going to be there. That old part of you is going to be upset maybe by someone getting triggered. And then you're going to go into, you're going to consider going into your shell again. Then your work is to figure out, why am I bothered by them being bothered by me being in my fullness? Oh, because I used to be a people pleaser. Oh, because I want harmony. Oh, and now I think I can't get harmony if I'm my full self. That's not actual truth, because you have evidence of all these other friends that came whenever you showed and were full. But you decide to bring your attention to this one naysayer that left this nasty ass comment on your YouTube. Why are you bringing attention to that? And the work continues. All of this to excavate our wholeness.
Yep. Oh, so juicy. Oh my gosh.
No Charlie horses. So no, that's why it was juicy.
No, it's been juicy all along. What are you talking about?
That was me downplaying my wholeness so people don't get intimidated and triggered by my, yeah, anyway. But yeah, that's what's up. That's the game we're playing right now.
Yep.
And honestly, like, just to be very frank, part of the product of racism, quite honestly, is that people that are not white, they have to do in many aspects extra work to clear their consciousness. Because it's one thing to be like, oh, I see this coach and now I get to be popular like them. But if you're white and they're white, there is an extra layer of self-consciousness or old programming and all of this other stuff that y'all don't have to deal with. And it would be a lot easier. We can't bypass this. It would be a lot easier, of course, if it was love and light and all of this bullshit, but it's actually not. And we're causing further harm to everyone, to white folks that thinks that there's not a problem, right? And they don't clear their consciousness on how them thinking that them working hard enough and getting to success is all that it takes. It's required. And no one's saying, if you're a white person and you're hearing this and you're like, what, I work hard, I'm a good person. You do work hard and you're a good person. And you probably have had many other horrible things befall you. That doesn't mean that even then that you had some sort of societal structural help, that you were regarded in some way as more of a viable person or candidate in whatever your path is because of your skin color. Mm-hmm. Whereas other people have the exact opposite. And so just acknowledging that doesn't mean that you need to go be homeless and give up your home to make Black people feel better. Please don't do that, because that doesn't do anything. That does reaffirm this victimhood. That's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to recognize structures and shift in a way that has everyone on the same playing field, just inherently. Spiritually, we're all on the same playing field, but we're still kind of operating in this realm of the physical realm. And so we need to take practical steps to have the physical realm meet the spiritual realm. So we're living heaven on earth. That's what this whole thing is.
Yes.
But we have to create it, which means we have to clear out the dark, insidious lies of separation that still embed the structures that run a lot of our country, especially in the Western world.
Yeah. So heaven on earth, I mean, could it happen tomorrow? Like, what, how will we know?
It's, what do you mean? There's not, so just, so this is what I'll, could it happen tomorrow? So if I ask you, whatever your goals are, you don't have to say them. Could it happen tomorrow? How will you know when you've reached the destination? And we've talked about this actually in the group we used to be a part of. That's what you're asking me. It's not a bad question, but I'm going to push against you a little bit, because this is what people will do to avoid, you're not doing it, but this is what people will do to avoid dealing with the more abstract conversation of racism and social justice. They'll be like, well, there's no clear tangible of success and measurement and adequacy and knowledge and consciousness shift. There's no tangible. So what's there the point anyway? No, I'm just saying, but you asked, there doesn't need to be, but you asked me, when will we know, right? But it's a journey.
Yeah.
You asked me, when will we know heaven on earth? Number one, it's already here in the realm of spiritual truth. It's already been here.
Yeah.
Our work is to use that truth to transmute it and bring it into the physical realm. But you said, when will we know? Number one, it's already here. And at the same time, it's a fucking work in progress. Are you committed or not?
Yeah. Yeah. I was coming from, because I very much agree with heaven on earth, and I am standing for that as well. And I was asking from the perspective of like, what is it going to feel like? You know, because like, I know what I think it'll feel like, but I wanted to get your stance on it.
So whenever you are in a state of, we talked about this nothing to prove energy, heaven on earth is when you allow yourself to experience the fullness of your being and you allow others to experience the same at the same time. Knowing that both of you, all of you experiencing that doesn't take away from one another. You don't have to try and play at any sort of game. You don't have to conceal in order to be loved. You don't have to over accomplish or brag in order to be revered. Everyone is in this state of like, oh, this is what my desire is. I get to have it. Wow, what a powerful belief. Some people call it arrogance, but then you go all the way into like low self-esteem because you're pretending that you don't want something that you actually want. Everyone is operating from a place of, I have my desires, I know what they are, and I get to have them, and I allow myself to receive them, and it doesn't take away from another person having that same experience. That's what heaven on earth is.
Hmm.
I mean, it's pretty wild, but it starts with you in all sense of the word, right? Because we talked about the power of being a demonstration. If you demonstrate, people are naturally going to course correct.
Yep, that is the work. It starts here.
Mm-hmm. But again, some people will say, it starts here and look at me. I did it, so you should be able to do it. That's not the energy I'm talking about.
What energy are you talking about, Mikkel?
I'm just talking about knowing that you get to have it and others do too. Because a lot of people will do the I get to have it, but then it's like, well, I got here, so why don't you just get your shit together, right? That's like a judgment kind of superiority, pedestalizing energy that I see. And that is an individualism that doesn't keep the collective in mind.
Mm.
So it's the both and feature of it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be heaven on earth.
Yeah. And like you said, like, it's already here, but it's also a process. Is that essentially kind of...
It's here, and we do a lot of work to pretend like it's not here.
Ooh.
To pretend or ensure that it's not here, because we don't trust like what we can't see. And so we really are attached to these outdated structures, our old ways of being, because we don't actually feel like we're powerful. So we enforce power through other structures that demean and place people in essentially some sort of hierarchy. Heaven on earth is here, but we actually don't operate or act or behave in ways that we actually believe that to be true. And that is the issue.
Yeah. I want to be like, so if you had, you know, like a minute on stage to tell the collective one thing, like, what would it be?
The collective?
Yeah.
Follow your desires, and that will bring you home to who you're called to be and where you're called to be. It's not a hedonistic thing. It's something as small as like, what do I want to say right now? What am I not telling my spouse that I need to tell them? Right? What do I really want to be doing? Do I really want to be doing this 9-to-5? Or is there a part of me that feels like I have to do this 9-to-5 because my parents told me that was the only way to be a respectable, good person in this world? Or is there a part of me that knows that I'm actually supposed to be doing this other thing? Those are your desires. I would say start today by just at least admitting them to yourself. And if you don't know something that big, it could just be like, I want strawberry ice cream today. And the fact that you don't admit those little things to yourself are compounding to a point where you are not able to recognize any one of your desires, because your whole existence is based on other people's desires, because you feel like you can't have relationships unless you're concerned with other people's needs. So again, starts with the desires. Anything outside of you and what you truly want is going to be a mind fuck.
Yep.
Because what other people are doing are not your business. And that includes what they're saying about you. It's not your business. Your business is just to be in the realm of desire of what you want, because that's what's actually for you. What you desire desires you.
Yep. So you can't miss it.
Or you can miss it, but the universe will keep pinging you back.
Yeah, we both know that. Oh my gosh. Beautiful. Follow your desires.
Yes. And I hope I've made a case for what happens when you don't follow your desires, because sometimes that's what people need in order to get clarity. They need the example of what happens if I don't. And it's like, well, you have evidence probably of that already in your life. You know what it's like, the cost of not following your desires, this manipulation, resentment, chaos, being where you're not supposed to be, being where you're not supposed to be for way longer than you should be. It affects other people. So it's just so much easier to just get clear on what you actually really want and move towards that.
And that's your greatest gift to the world. And I mean, please, like, we need more people who are alive and who are following their desires right now. That is part of heaven on earth. That is part of healing. That's part of social justice.
Yeah, I think it's funny. The conversation could go on so long, but this is the thing. I think people don't want to have the conversation because they're afraid. They feel like they're a bad person, especially if they're white. And that's really not the thing, because when everyone gets their needs met, you do too. And you actually are, you're freed of this weight of needing to prove in any sort of sense, needing to prove or apologize and even play that game. You see, if that structure goes away, if we put the physical structures in place to have everyone at the baseline, imagine if we had like universal basic income. People are afraid that people will be too greedy, but that comes from a place that you feel like you need to work hard in order to earn money, which is like this insane thing. At our natural state, human beings are naturally motivated to do what they want to do and what they feel called to do. Half of the people in the world, that is an arbitrary statistic, but half of the people in the world are doing things they don't want to do because they feel like they're going to be shamed or they're going to be homeless or whatever the fuck. But if everyone had their basic needs met, they would be freed from this pressure of just surviving in this society, and they would be called and have the energy to really get clear on what they actually desire. That's why these physical changes, these governmental changes, are really, really necessary.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for bringing it there.
I do what I can. But yeah, that's the thing. Other people getting their needs met actually benefits you too. I think people just, we so often work against our own best interests because we're programmed to think in a certain way. And it's like, the name of the game is like, there's abundance inherently in the heaven on earth paradigm. We just have to just remove ourselves from this idea that we have to like be in competition with one another.
Yeah, community and collaboration and unity, that's where it's at. That's where we're headed. It's where we are right here, right now.
Yes, in this podcast. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, oh my gosh, like you said, we could go on for hours, but I do think we should start wrapping it up. So Mikkel, I mean, you've just shared so much wisdom, so many gold nuggets. And you know, pleasure. If people want to find you and follow you, like, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. I think my biggest thing, because it has my link tree on it, because I don't remember my Facebook handle, but Mikkel Gray on Instagram. The handle doesn't match that, but just look at Mikkel Gray. That's MICHEL, and then Gray is GREY. And then you can find me on Facebook. You can find my podcast that I've done. You can find other stuff. But yeah, my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, you guys definitely hit up Mikkel, give a follow. Yeah, Facebook or Instagram. I mean, your Facebook is just lighting up. Instagram.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember the link.
We'll get it in the show notes. Don't you worry. But thank you again. This has been wonderful. So much. Yeah, thank you all for tuning in, listening to this conversation. I'm here if you want to follow up, if you have maybe questions, if you are like, what is this whole heaven on earth thing? This is the first thing I've heard of it. Yeah, always here to support and to talk it out if that's a desire for you. Because like Mikkel said, follow your desire.
Very nice.
Much love. We will see you guys on the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Heart Conversations, the podcast. If there's someone in your life that would really benefit from listening to this episode, it would mean the world to me if you took 30 seconds to share it with them right now. You can take a screenshot, share it on your social media, text it to them, do whatever you have to do to spread this message of hope with the ones you love most. Until next time, keep following your heart. Hey friends, it's me in Hawaii, and guess who's joining me?
It's me. Also in Hawaii.
Savannah Smith.
Hi.
And we are currently at the Bird Park, also known as the...
That's all you.
Okay. Kipukapuaulu Trail. I think I pronounced that right. And we're going to do a walk and talk for today's heart-to-heart conversation. I'm actually super pumped. We're going to journey through a lush oasis of Hawaiian forest. So, yeah. If you hear any background noise, it's probably the birds, maybe a car, maybe us walking. But here we go.
Here we go.
All right.
this podcast is dedicated to Hawaii, all things Hawaii. Like, what is Marissa doing? Who's this Savannah girl? And yeah, what's traveling nomad life like?
Yeah, so I think I'm just gonna press Marissa with some questions for you all. So let's just start off with, what are you doing here? Who are you? What have you become? Give us just like a basic rundown of your time so far.
Yeah, what am I doing here? I ask myself that question on a daily basis. No, but actually it's crazy. I never thought I would end up in Hawaii, but I'm gonna take you back to the year 2020. Was it in 2020? Well, basically, I graduated college and my plan all along was to be a traveling nomad, but then COVID happened, right?
Yeah.
Put a wrench in all of our plans. And so originally I was gonna be going to India, but that didn't happen. Still hasn't happened. Might happen in the future. And then, oh, there's a bird. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. I wish you guys could see it.
We'll be doing a vlog next time, don't worry.
Yeah. And now I lost my train of thought. That bird is gorgeous. So then I heard about Workaway program probably like end of high school, mm-hmm. and it all of a sudden popped back into my memory. And I was like, wow, Workaway, what a great way to travel. So I applied. Highly recommend you guys like research, apply if you're into traveling, because it's a great way to see the world. I'm actually going to link the what do you call it, site in the show notes. And applied for Hawaii because I actually have some friends who did woofing, which is like organic farming, whereas Workaway is more like broad. You do some farming, do some like just everyday chores. And Savannah, you want to tell them kind of like what our gig is here in Hawaii?
Yeah, so I'd say it's a good mix of a lot of things. Since it's been just Marissa and I, pretty much Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we start with compost. And they have this pretty awesome composting system that we're able to help out with. But it requires it 3 piles being turned 3 times a week. So we'll start off with that. And then we'll usually head inside and do some little housework type things like sweeping, dishes, mopping, sometimes vacuuming, stuff like that. And then the rest of the day, it's always something different. My personal favorite days are when we're outside. They have this plot of land. It's like a, 2-minute walk maybe from their house. And basically it was just a forest. And now they're trying to make it into a little, I'd say like a small farm, large garden type of thing.
Yeah. And when we say they, we're referring to like our, I guess you could call them like our Workaway hosts.
Yeah.
Or the family that we're staying with, which is awesome. Like I said, it's a great way to travel because Savannah and I get to stay in like the downstairs apartment basement area. Mm-hmm. And we're staying with locals. They have 4 little kids, a 5th one on the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can give us all the tips and tricks, tell us, you know, the cool spots to visit. And yeah, it's pretty chill. We work. Also, I'm like out of breath because we're walking up a hill. We work 4 hours a day.
Yep.
5 days a week.
Yep.
And then have the rest of the time off to explore and adventure. And yeah, if you've been following me on Instagram, you've seen just like all the beautiful waterfalls, landscapes, lava, just cool things that we've seen.
Yeah. So, okay, let me backtrack a little bit. Why did you choose Hawaii as your starting destination?
Ooh. Yeah, I'm honestly trying to figure that out myself because, like I said, Hawaii wasn't really ever up there on the list for mm-hmm. me. But then when I kind of realized, okay, India isn't happening, mm-hmm. then it was between Hawaii and Costa Rica. And I had applied for it was kind of similar to Workaway. It's a work exchange program in Costa Rica. But that wasn't going to happen till end of May.
Right.
And this was back in February, and I was like, I can't wait any longer. And so then the Workaway host that we're staying with now, she reached out to me, and she was like, hey, like, we're looking for someone at the beginning of April. And I was like, perfect, let's go. So that's how it all came together.
Yeah.
And It's super cool because Savannah is actually also from Washington.
Sure am. I'm from Bellingham. I, just a quick blurb about me. I graduated from Western, like, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 weeks before coming out here. And I guess sort of what Marissa was saying along with COVID, like, this is a great getaway that isn't too far. You know, you're still in the United States, so you don't have to worry about passports and visas and all those things, but you don't feel like you're in the United States. it is so different here. I just, every single day I become more and more convinced this place isn't real.
Yeah, like, we just actually came back from a drive where we had to stop, pull over, take pictures because yet another rainbow, and it's just like so gorgeous. And I really hope you guys can hear the birds in the background here, because the wildlife, I mean, the jungle.
Oh, yeah.
The lava. Like, where else can
it's
you
amazing.
Have all of these different, what do you call them, climates?
Yeah.
You're the science person.
Like, environments, different climatic zones.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, 1 minute you'll be driving through dense rainforest, and then all of a sudden it'll just be like a river of hardened lava. And you'll be like, oh, we're over lava, bump, bump, bump. And then back into the forest, and then you're at the ocean.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. So what about this whole nomadic traveling lifestyle that you keep mentioning, what about that attracts you?
Oh my gosh, everything. Like, this has been my dream for probably at least 4 years.
To solo travel?
Yeah, to be a single woman traveling the world. I love the spontaneity of it, because I don't know, I can be a pretty type A person, and so this is like my way of kind of letting go and learning to just trust the flow of life.
Sure.
Yeah, it like kind of it. I guess this is my type of like adrenaline and thrill.
Gotcha.
It's traveling.
The tingly toes.
Yeah, or tingly toes. Shout out to Jake. I hope you listen to this, Jake. yeah, like, I don't know. We all experience it differently, but travel for me and experiencing other cultures and meeting new people is definitely, I would just say, gives me that high, that natural high on life.
Yeah.
And I just feel so alive.
Cool. Yeah. And how long do you plan on being gone for?
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, when you're back in Washington. I'm like, that won't be for another year at least.
Okay, well, how about, let's actually start with when you leave our current workaway place.
Okay, so,
Wait, another tricky question.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, I left Washington April 12th, 2021.
Okay.
And based on that timeline, I won't be back to Washington until after April 12th, 2022.
Okay, sweet.
But Hawaii itself?
Yeah.
Probably like 6 months.
Okay, I know you've been teetering with the idea of staying on the Big Island.
Yeah. I don't want to put a timeline on that.
Yeah.
I love the Big Island, but I also want to see, you know, like Maui, Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hard to leave when you meet so many cool people and feel like you have a solid friend group.
Right. Okay, yeah, so let's also talk about, so I guess the relationships that come with being a solo traveler. You know, you're meeting all of these amazing people. Some of them, as we know, are, you know, like forever residents of the Big Island in Pahoa.
Mm-hmm.
But then other people are just travelers, so I know I've felt like I've personally made some amazing lifelong connections.
Yeah.
But there's all these people I might not see again. So how are you able to kind of cope with or handle that?
Yeah, I'm realizing that it comes with this lifestyle, and it's teaching me a lot about like detachment, and so letting go. I think it's amazing. Because we've been here a little over a month, right? And we already feel like we have a solid friend group. So just as it's amazing to see how close we can get to people in such a short amount of time, it's also amazing in kind of like a dark way of like how quickly that can fizzle out if you let it.
Right.
But that's what I've learned even since graduating college too, is like if you want to keep those connections, you got to be intentional. And ooh, I'm totally going to throw in like a planting gardening reference here and be like, you got to like cultivate, you got to nurture those seeds that you planted.
I love that. So does, you know, like you're saying, all these super strong relationships that you're able to make so quickly, does that make you more eager to go to the next place and make even more connections and have another friend group, do you think?
Partly, but also partly not, because it, you know, just as I've gotten close with these people, like I said, I don't want to leave the Big Island because it's so hard to leave after this solid friend group has formed. But then I also know, and I think this will come with time too, like every time that I shift and transition to another place, it'll provide evidence like, okay, Marissa, yeah, it was hard to leave that last place and that last friend group, but I mean, who knows what's on the other side of, you know, who knows what's on the other island of Maui or Oahu, like who's waiting for me there?
Yeah, this is only your first stop of a at least year-long adventure, right?
Crazy, yeah.
Okay, so how about, you're planning on being gone for a year, right?
Yes.
The million-dollar question, how are you affording this? What did you do financially to prepare for this?
I'd say, like, I'm really grateful for those stimulus checks.
Okay.
That's definitely helping. I'd say my philosophy and kind of, like, how I'm trying to go at this is, like, money, it comes and goes, right? I don't want money to ever deter me from traveling. And this is the time to do it. This is the phase where I'm young. I am single. Like, there's nothing really tying me down. And so I want to have these experiences. And by no means am I rich. Like, please, that's like, no. I just know that even we have a friend here who offered to help me, hire me. And, like, if I do need money.
Two friends at this point.
Yeah, like. So there isn't a lack of funds ever. And if there is, then I'll stop work trading and get a job.
You know where to go.
Do the 9-to-5 thing.
Yeah, definitely.
The real adulting.
Well, we'll worry about that if that time ever comes. Yeah. Which it probably won't.
Cross
You're
that
smart
bridge.
Gal, type A.
It's gotten me this far. Oh, there's a bench.
Aww.
Should we sit? Yeah. Catch our breath?
Okay, so I'm going to change up the topic.
Okay.
Let's talk about Pahoa, the town we're staying in.
Oh, baby.
Right off the bat, anything you really want to say to start us off?
Well, here's the thing is, like, I want to give, like, all the deets, but I also want to kind of let people experience it for themselves, you know, because that's how we did it. I did maybe a little bit of research just to see where it was on Google Maps, but other than that, I didn't know what to expect. What do I want to say about Pahoa?
I'll say I didn't do any research about Pahoa, and I'm glad that I didn't, because if I had read the Google searches, I probably would not have wanted to come here, and little did I know, I would absolutely fall in love with this place. And like you said, it's one of those places you got to come here and experience it for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of, I'd say, travelers.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of hippie, woo-woo spiritual people that come and go.
Can you give us an example of one of these encounters with this hippie woo-woo we've had?
Ooh, are you talking about a specific...
There's been many, so...
Because now I'm like,
You could talk about glass slippers guy.
Oh,
you could
talk
about the guy from today.
Oh, man. Well, there's this character. I don't even think I know his name. No, his name is... Isn't it like... Mo-po or something?
Oh, yeah, he has it written on his jacket.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, because I'm more poor than you.
That's right!
Or something,
The memory.
Wow.
Impeccable.
He is a wonderful man. A little bit, I was a little bit scared at first. Like, I was like, I don't know if I want to be talking to this person.
It was our first encounter with somebody who, I don't want to put a label on him, but he does seem to spend a lot of time just wandering around the streets. And that was our first encounter with somebody.
Yeah, and this was like me, Savannah, and I think it was at least one or maybe two other workaway girls.
Yeah, it was all four of us, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, because we were catching the bus, and so we were just sitting in town waiting. And
super early, too, in the morning.
Yeah, it was like 6 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this guy comes around and super sweet, out of nowhere, is like, where are your glass slippers? Have you lost your glass slippers? And we're all a little bit confused, like looking down at our feet. And he's like, oh, like Princess is like, you have to have your glass slippers on. And we just laugh it off. And then, you know, we just go back and forth. And
he keeps asking us if we find any organic charisma to send him his way.
Yeah, so if you guys... We still have yet to find organic charisma. So if you know a place, let us know.
Send it to our P.O. box.
We'll put that in the show notes.
I think you got to tell the dog story.
That's all you. That was... Oh. Okay. So, you know how we said we would work on like a... We have this plot that we've been, you know, slowly but surely. It's coming together. You know, we're adding plants and...
It's a lot of work that like... It takes a lot of work for not a lot of show, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, you know you're putting in a lot of effort, but it doesn't look like anything's changed.
Except for that one day when something clearly had changed. It was just this pile of rocks that was not there before. And I walk up, and Savannah's just over there kind of eyeing it, like... Yeah.
There was a ton of flies flying around it, and... For a while, I was working on that plot, like, every day, and I was like, I definitely didn't put this pile of rocks here. So I called over Marissa, and I was like, hey, did you put this pile of rocks here?
The only thing I could think of is I was like, there was some guy weed-whacking and mowing yesterday, like, maybe he just moved all of them out of the way and put them in a pile, but why are there flies?
Yeah, and then, you know, we got closer, because it was like kind of where I was, like, building a little rock wall type of thing, like a rock perimeter. Around a garden bed, and I was like, oh, it's whatever, you know, I'll just move him back to where I had him. So we take a step closer, and that, well, it stunk. It was rancid. Mm. And
then Savannah makes the joke that there's a dead body under there, which, no.
Yeah, it's a joke. I was like, I don't want to move those rocks. What if there's a dead body under there? Ha ha. And then we kind of just, you know, went about our day.
And then next thing you know, this woman, I wasn't there, I was back home, but this woman comes like running over crying, right?
Yeah.
Just like, please don't move the rocks or something.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, like why? she's frantic, right? And she's like, my friend's dog, I hit him with the car. He's right there. Don't move the rocks. Oh. Don't move the rocks. And I'm like, oh, the rock pile of rocks has flies around it and kind of stinks. Mm. And she's like, just don't move the pile of rocks. Don't move the pile of rocks. He needs to be next to flowers, please. And I was just like, yeah, you betcha I'm not moving that pile of rocks.
Now that I know what's underneath it, jeez. But then, so I'm back home, right? And I see Savannah... Like, you were on a mission. You were, like...
I booked it back to the house.
Oh, yeah. And it looked like she had seen a ghost. Like, your eyes were wide. Like, you were white. And, like, I'm just like, what happened?
Yeah, so I tell Marissa this whole story. And luckily, the workaway host comes out from the house at the same time. And it's like, I think it was when Marissa and I were just saying, what do we do? Like, this is so weird. What do we do? And the host goes, oh, what's going on? So again, I tell her that story, and she just looks at me and she goes, you know, you just really can't make this stuff up. And we all just kind of stand there and we're just pondering, like, what are we supposed to do? Because there's this area we're trying to grow food for their bakery. So we're like, okay, well, we can't be eating decaying dead dog spinach, you know? And so then what? She called her husband. And as soon as I described the person, they instantly knew who it was.
Oh, yeah. Small town.
Yeah, super small town. And they're like, all right, I'll be back. I'm going to go find that person. And they did.
And next thing, like, so me and Savannah, we just see this person dragging this bag with a tail hanging out of it.
Yep.
And because, I mean, you can't just have a dog under a pile of rocks. That would take years.
Yeah.
to decay. And also, we're trying to grow a garden here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they ended up burying it just a little ways away from our garden, but yeah. At least they buried it underground in a bag.
Yeah, now it has, like, a tombstone and everything, some flowers around it, so.
Yep. Yeah. That was quite the day at work.
Yeah, so that's Pahoa.
Yep. Come see it for yourself. Sign up for work trade using my link. Visit Pahoa.
Come see if
you
hi.
Yeah, come say hi. We'll probably be living in Pahoa yep. by the time that you
probably
are here.
Gonna be in the middle of the jungle in a tiny home. Yep.
Yep.
All right.
It'll be great.
Okay. Anyways, so what kind of adventures do you go on? Let's talk about after work adventures during the week, and then also weekend
Ooh.
Trips.
All right. So, like, today, for example, is an after-work adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove about an hour to mm-hmm. Volcanoes National Park. And here we are at Bird Park and recording a podcast, because that's yeah. just what you do after work. You go on a hike and you bring your phones and record a podcast.
Pretty casual.
Yeah. You know. Also, they'll be able to hear you scraping your foot.
Sorry.
It'll be great.
Okay. A little flavor.
Yeah.
Okay, what about on the weekend? I know we be going on bigger adventures during the weekend.
Yes.
So why don't you talk about some of those?
Oh my gosh. When you have two whole days that are free, you go all out. Like, we get in our car, our rental car, which is pretty sweet.
Oh,
it's a Mercedes.
Oh,
we really lucked out. Her name is Winky. You can ask about that story. DM us and ask us if you want the story, the full deeds. Also, Savannah just drank out of her water.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. And, ooh, I think our first, like, big adventure was Green Sands.
Yeah.
All right. There's Green Sands Beach. Super gorgeous. Don't ask me how it's green. We looked it up, but there's, like, a whole science to it.
You can look it up, too.
You can, yeah.
It's pretty cool, actually, though.
And we camped in the car, and we saw a beautiful sunset. Mm-hmm. We got dumped rain on us. But it was all part of the story. Good
yep.
memories. Yep. That was Savannah's, like, probably your favorite place, huh?
Oh, for sure. What was your favorite place?
I don't pick favorites.
Wow.
They're all so good. It's true. I don't like picking favorites.
Okay, what about, like, do you have a certain memory from here that really sticks out? Doesn't have to have just been, like, a pretty landscape, but just a time you're feeling good and you're really just thinking, yep, this is why I'm here. This is
Ooh.
It.
All right. This isn't going to be, like, an adventure.
That's fine.
But, yeah, it's an experience. It was the ecstatic dance that mm-hmm. we went to. That was my first time ever going to an ecstatic dance, and it was just so beautiful. The whole... I just loved how there wasn't really judgment. You know, people mm-hmm. were just, like, in the flow, feeling the music. There was a DJ. There was lights. Mm-hmm. This was a couple Fridays back. And, yeah, we all... Oh, it was just so wholesome. We all got in a circle afterwards, sat down, and said our name. And I think we were sharing what we were grateful for or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of people saying love. And I said peace, connection, and unity. And... Man, like, after that night, I was like, I feel home.
Yeah, this is it.
I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah. What other things have we done? Okay, can you give us the whole story about YPO and our star appearance?
All right, YPO Valley. Absolutely gorgeous. We went on a spontaneous trip with our friends,
mm-hmm.
hiked down. There's wild horses.
Mm-hmm.
We did a river crossing, which was pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever done a river crossing, like, those rocks are slippery
mm-hmm.
and that river's flowing, but we made it. And we camped there that night just under a tarp and got to build a fire, look at the stars, have s'mores, sing songs. And so that was Thursday night, right? And then Friday, we all had plans to go to a Mike Love concert, which I had never heard of Mike Love, but
yeah,
Mike Love is pretty big here in Hawaii. He's
mm-hmm.
from Oahu. And Savannah and I hadn't bought our tickets yet. Mm-hmm. So we were just banking on the fact that, okay, when we get back to town, we'll buy our tickets at the door.
Yeah, because we didn't have service either.
Yeah, there would have been no way. So we're walking out. You know, we, like, packed everything up. We were done with our beautiful camping experience. And we're crossing that river once again. And once we get to the other side, our friend tells us that he's like, that's Mike Love over there. And we're like, what? Like, no way. But, I mean, Mike Love, when you see him, you know it's him because his dreads are
he's an icon.
So yeah. long. Yeah. And so we're all like, what? Like, we kind of, it's a big deal, right? So we kind of want to, like, go up to him and say hi, but we're also kind of shy and nervous. Yeah. And sure enough, our friend goes over to him and is like, hey, Mike. Is that what he said? Mikey, what up? And he's like, we got to go back to town. We want to make it for your concert. Uh-huh. And get this. We get a ride up the hill. We don't have to hike up this, like, super steep hill.
Huge because hill.
Mike Love, the man himself, the person that we're going to see in concert that night, he and his men, his crew, they give us a ride in the back of their trucks.
Yep.
Like, yeah. who, you can't make this stuff up. I swear, that's our tagline for Hawaii. Is there anything you want to add to that? It's just so magical.
That whole trip, that was awesome. I think that might have been my moment of, like, yeah, this is why I'm here. You know, I made the right choice coming out to do this.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Like Marissa said, stars were amazing. I did wake up to a crab crawling across my head. But other than that, gorgeous trip. And it was just so... The beauty there was unreal. It really did feel like something special.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I forgot about even the next morning, like, swimming in the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, so duck true. Diving under the waves.
Yeah.
Even, like, hopping over the waves. Like, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
Gosh, that's up there. There's so many cool experiences. Like I said, I can't pick favorites, but those are some highlights.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, okay, in my time left here, what do we have all planned?
Oh, yeah, because you're heading out in, like, 4 or 5 days, huh?
Oh.
For good. I know, yeah. Sad.
Sad.
What do we have planned? Ooh, okay. Friday, so that's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to the top of Mauna Kea, which, you want to tell them the cool fact about Mauna Kea?
Oh, I would love to. Mauna Kea is indeed the tallest mountain in the world. That's right. You heard it here, folks. In the world. Mount Everest, who? No. That's Mauna Kea because, let me tell you why, Mauna Kea actually starts at the base of the ocean floor. So if you measure it from there to the tippity-tippity top, which we were planning on going to tomorrow, it is indeed the tallest mountain in the world.
You heard it from us, folks. We don't lie. We only
tell
the
truth. Ourselves. We can confirm that this is a true fact.
Oh my gosh, wait, no. Okay, that reminds me. One other magical experience that I totally spaced on, because you talked about, like, measuring it and being underwater. Manta ray.
Oh.
Manta ray night snorkel excursion. I have never done anything like that. And I was just so in awe of just nature and this planet and manta rays, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I highly recommend if you come to the Big Island. I'm pretty sure the Big Island is the only island that you can do this on.
I don't know.
I mean, don't quote me on that, but...
But there is a Groupon for it.
Yes. So
that's the way to go.
We'll put Groupon in the show notes.
We're just adding it to this list.
Okay, so what are we doing
tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, so
after
Mauna Kea Summit. And then Marissa had this crazy wild idea.
As she does.
To continue the adventure. So after Mauna Kea, we're going to continue on to Pololu Valley.
Yeah.
Which is, like, well, from Pahoa, it's, like, 2 hours, 15 minutes around there. So we're just going to go all night and drive, probably find a place to car camp that's, like, somewhat safe and or not, you know. we might just be like super wild.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, if there's no more podcasts after this, you'll know why.
Send a helicopter.
And then I don't know if we're going to do a night hike into Polulu Valley. That's to be determined.
Yeah.
But like we might just car camp and then wake up the next morning at like sunrise and then camp. Not camp. And then just hike in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm ready for some stunning views.
Yeah. Yeah. And Polulu is part of the same group of valleys that YPO is, where we were when we ran into Mr. Mike Love.
Yes.
There's seven sacred valleys, and Polulu is the first, and YPO is the last.
I hope you're taking notes.
Yeah, there's a quiz at the end of this.
Yeah, and if you win, there'll be a prize. Yeah, and then Saturday night, we got to be back in Hilo for our friend who has a gig at a burger joint, I think. He's playing music there, so we got to support the fam.
Yep, yep.
And, yeah, we're going all out. We're... Yep.
Last weekend, gotta go big.
Yep, big adventure. And then, yeah, Sunday will probably be chill. Maybe a market day, get some quality Thai food.
Oh, yeah, finally.
I'm addicted. Yeah, that Thai food is so good. That's probably also another highlight. I could go for hours about highlights.
Just be a highlights reel.
Yeah, podcast. Highlights of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Yeah. Anything else? Any questions that you just got up your sleeve?
Well, that is about all of my questions I can think of. Do you have anything else that you think the listeners need to hear before they book their trip to Hilo?
Hilo/Pahoa. All I gotta say is, like, Hawaii is truly a sacred place and so magical, and you know, like, it's fun to post on my stories on social media and talk about all these adventures, but I think with anything, and especially being a traveler and coming to a land that isn't yours, that it's important to keep in mind to respect the place and the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess I just wanted to add that at the end there of, like, keep it sacred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good finishing note.
Boom. Keep it sacred.
There it is. Keep it sacred. All 2021.
Much love. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining me, Savannah.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Mwah.
Mwah.